search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another episode of our program In Search of Piety. We search for piety by recognizing and learning about the traits of piety. And when we can see the traits of piety in our pious predecessors, when these reminders are read or heard about, we are inspired to follow the way of the noble personalities of the past. The work that we have based our program on is all about the noble personalities of the past and the lessons which they taught us. These reminders serve as pillars of guidance, or these reminders are beacons of light which help us to come out of the darkness of negligence and heedlessness and find our way through this dark world towards the salvation waiting for us in the hereafter if our intentions are sincere and if we strive in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today the topic will be, or in this episode, the topic is the origins of tasawwuf. Hafiz Abu Nu'aym Asbahani, he mentions, or he has a whole section in this book about the word tasawwuf itself, and then some related content or related narrations to the different meanings or definitions, linguistic definitions of tasawwuf. But before I mention any of those meanings or any of those definitions, I would like to share with you a narration which expresses the excellence of sending blessings in favor of our beloved Prophet Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the noble messenger, the best in creation, the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is reported to have said that, send blessings upon me often, for this is purification for you. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Tasawwuf is a term which is often used without understanding, and who better to explain this term than the people from the era where practically tasawwuf was seen, and the outward state of many pious people showed that those who walk upon the path of self-purification, those who are described as being Sufis, what they actually looked like, what their behavior was like, and what their inclinations were when they lived among the people. Hafiz Abu Nu'aym, he says that this word either comes from Safa'un or Wafa'un, and in terms of its derivation, he mentions four different possibilities for tasawwuf. The first possibility which he mentions is that it's possible that tasawwuf comes from sufana, and it has connotations to vegetables or even dust. Another meaning which he gives is it may possibly come from sulfa. And in this derivation, he says that sulfa refers to a tribe. This tribe named sulfa would actually serve them, would care for them, and this tribe would care of the holy land. A third possibility which he mentions of in terms of the origins of tasawwuf, he says it could come from an expression sulfatul qafa, which refers to the hair on the nape of the neck. So what we might call the back of the neck where the hair begin, those hairs. And a fourth meaning which he has, or fourth derivation which Hafiz Abu Nu'aym mentions, is the famous one which many of you may know about. He says tasawwuf may come from sulf, and sulf referring to the wool of sheep. So each one of these definitions, there is some related content which I would like to share with you. Starting with the first one, sulfana, which we said had connotations to vegetables, or one of the meanings being that. He says about this that the link, or the reason why this may be derived from this meaning, is because the people who walk upon this path, many of them choose to consume that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for as sustenance for creation from the earth. And we know from the verses of the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has expressed how He has made plants grow and vegetation grow, and what grows, what comes from the earth, is a means of sustenance and is for the people. So he makes this point that this connection of being content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided from the earth, and being frugal in terms of consumption, not desiring a lot of meat, that is the indication here. For people who have a strong desire to eat more meat are usually people who may lack an element of self-discipline, or they don't have that level of contentment. And when we look at the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, we are reminded that they faced great hardships. And many of the pious predecessors, they would eat whatever was available from them. From the ground, they would pluck the grass and try to survive on that. So this was almost a sign of the awliya, of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they would survive on vegetables and whatever they would find of the earth, of plants or leaves. And an example of this, Sayyidina Qais bin Abi Hazim rahimahullah, he says that Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas, the great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he once said that by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the people of Arabia, I am the first who shot an arrow in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he describes his condition in the early days of Islam. He says that without doubt, we joint expeditions with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a state that we had nothing to eat but leaves. And then the shocking thing, he gives more detail. He said, because of the excessive consumption of leaves, when we would relieve ourselves, it was as if a goat had relieved itself, meaning goat droppings. What would come out of our bodies would resemble that which would come out of the bodies of goats. So this is something which is very difficult to understand in terms of, for us, it may feel like, or it may seem like these are just words, but those who are in the company of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those noble personalities, a reason for that honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them was the fact that they were content with as little as the leaves of trees, just to survive and just to have the strength to stand shoulder to shoulder with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to protect the borders of Islam and the Muslims from the enemy. This is the kind of contentment the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum showed, and this is an inspiration for us. In this day and age where there is diversity in desires, so many different kinds of tea, different kinds of food, the meat of one animal, the way it's cooked, the different ways in which it is cooked may even mean that there are 10 different dishes, and in essence it's the same meat. So we can't compare ourselves to the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we can at least be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that where the flag bearers of truth, they consumed leaves and fought for the protection of this religion, we are simply being asked to eat halal and express gratitude in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we fail in this basic thing, then we truly are looking at doom. We are truly destroying ourselves, and we are putting our afterlives in danger. So we must become believers who are grateful for what we have. The second meaning which the Imam mentioned of the tasawwuf, or the second term that he said it may be derived from, sufa, which I mentioned was referred to a group of people, a tribe of that name, who would serve the pilgrims and would care for the Holy Land. In relation to this, Hafiz Abu Nu'aym mentioned that people of this path of piety, they reside in this world in such a way that they remain distant, they are saved from calamities, and they benefit from this world in such a way that they accumulate deeds, or they collect for the hereafter. So they are not people who are drawn in or who are deceived by the lure of this world. They are people who understand the world for what it is, and they also understand their role in this world. So they collect for the hereafter. They consider their moments of life in this world to be precious, and they take advantage of those moments. And they collect their provisions for that journey into the hereafter. And because of this, they are saved from the pain of death, and they are saved from all kinds of tribulations in this world. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam once said to him, "O Ali, when people attain the nearness of Allah subhanahu ta'ala through the doors of righteousness, you do so, or meaning you attain the nearness of Allah subhanahu ta'ala through your intelligence." Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam mentioned that if he did this, he will attain a high rank among the people of this world, and in the hereafter this will be a means of nearness too. The third meaning that Hafiz Abu Nu'aym mentions of the tasawwuf, he says it's derived from the term sufatul qafa, the hair on the nape of the neck. Regarding this particular, or when he mentions this particular meaning, he says that the Sufi is someone who is inclined to, or his focus is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He turns away from the creation, meaning he turns to the creator and turns away from the creation, and he does not seek any recompense, anything in return from the people, from the creation. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anh, he reports that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was cast into the fire by Namrud, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, "Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil." He said, "Allah subhanahu ta'ala is enough for us." He expressed his trust in Allah subhanahu ta'ala, and how Allah subhanahu ta'ala is the best, is the most excellent in terms of being disposer of affairs. Meaning he left his affair, he left his matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not want anything from creation. Some narrations even mention how Sayyidina Jibreel came to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam as he was thrown into the fire. But Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam did not show any inclination to him in terms of seeking help from him. He expressed, he believed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of his condition, and if Allah wills and Allah decrees it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save him. He expressed his strong trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fourth meaning of the tasawwuf, which is mentioned by the Imam, he says it comes from sufun, which, as I mentioned earlier, refers to the wool of sheep. And the reason being, as some of you may know already, that they would, a lot of the people who practiced tasawwuf, who were inclined to this way of asceticism and turning away from the world, and they were very focused in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in attaining knowledge, in their adherence to the way of Islam and the teachings of Islam and the teachings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some of them would go to the extent of wearing woolen clothing or woolen upper garments, and this was also an expression of humility, because wearing such clothing was not considered to be something appealing. It wasn't the most comfortable in terms of attire. It was something which probably made, if anything, it probably made them feel hotter or more. It was more difficult for them, but it was a part of their discipline and a part of their turning away from the world and a part of their focus in being and remaining humble in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So an expression of this was that they would cover themselves in woolen clothing. This is something which any element of arrogance is broken down. So this was part of their way of expressing humility in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ja'far mentions the difference between a Sunni and a Sufi. So what is the difference? Before I mention the quote, just as we have this relationship between Wali and Alim, it is said that every Wali is a scholar, an Alim, but not every Alim is a Wali. In the same way, every Sufi is a Sunni, but not every Sunni is a Sufi. So what is a Sufi, or why is that description even given? Before we mention the quote of Imam Ja'far, it is important to understand that any description of a gathering, of a person, of anyone's condition, if it is not expressing something that goes against the Sharia, you can use any description to describe a person and his identity or his manner. And this is an example of that. This is not a case of a new sect being invented in Islam or something happening that was going against the Sharia. This was merely an expression of a more serious or a more focused approach to self-purification and in seeking nearness, the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in search of piety. This was an expression of that. Let us go back to what Imam Ja'far said, and then we will continue and share more points about tasawwuf narrated by Hafiz Abu Nu'aym. So he says that Imam Ja'far mentioned, "The one who follows the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the apparent states, meaning his outward life, he is a Sunni, meaning one who follows the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the one who follows the inner elements of the prophetic life, he is a Sufi." And the inner elements refers to the character of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he was inclined to, what he did not like, so not having an inclination to things which he did not like, and having a strong inclination to whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved in terms of the inner. So this would be a Sufi. So a Sufi is doing all those things that are related to prophetic character and prophetic inclination. So for example, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a strong inclination to worship at night. The people of the tasawwuf, or the Sufi, or those who followed this way, were known to be people who would worship at night and do really exert themselves in extra worship out of this love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember, we are Ahlul Sunnah because we follow the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of the practical or applicable elements of hadith, because you have to differentiate between hadith and sunnah. The sunnah is the aspect of the prophetic life or the prophetic way that we as believers follow, all the things that we do in following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Hadith is very broad. So when we look at sunnah compared to hadith, hadith includes all the reports of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. It includes all different kinds of reports. It includes reports in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam did things that were specific to him sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. It includes reports in which certain rulings became abrogated, meaning reports from the earlier days of Islam, and then later the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam mentioned a different instruction, and that different instruction or newer instruction was the one that was maintained. So when we say Sunnah, the reason why we are called Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah is because we follow the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has taught us and instructed us that we are people of his Sunnah. So we are Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. And the difference between Sunnah and Hadith is that Sunnah is that which we follow from the examples of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Hadith is general, it covers the different aspects of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, including things that were specific to him, including instructions that may later have been replaced by different rulings where abrogation has taken place. So we can't just pick a solitary hadith and claim to follow it without understanding the context of that hadith and without understanding the commentary of the hadith. This is why it's very dangerous to be passing judgment about any hadith traditions without knowledge, without guidance, especially without consultation with ulama. And our understanding of this religion is based upon a sound, reported, transmitted understanding, part of that unbroken chain of scholarship. This religion is not based upon self study elements only. It's based upon guidance, teaching, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, even though they knew Arabic, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the Quran to them, explained his example to them, and the Sahaba explained this or transmitted this to those who followed them, and this is how the chain continued. So in the words of Imam Ja'far Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala an, a Sunni is someone who follows the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam outwardly, and a Sufi is someone who follows the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of his character and the inner element of the Sunnah. In reality, the Sufi is a Sunni, even though every Sunni may not have that spiritual devotion of a Sufi, but every Sufi is definitely a Sunni. And when we look at the Ahlus Sunnah, the different schools of thought of fiqh, the different salasil of tasawwuf or tariqah, all these variations, they all are under the umbrella or under the classification of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. And it's beautiful because these slight differences of methodology between the Hanafis and the Shafi'is and the Malikis, in each of their differences of methodology, the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is preserved. So it's not a case of them being different or following a different path altogether. The path and the aqidah, the creed is one and the same. The methodology of following certain aspects in jurisprudence may differ, and that is a reflection, or that is a manifestation of preserving the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we become believers who follow the inward elements of the Sunnah as well as the outward elements of the Sunnah, and we attain success in this world and in the hereafter. Ameen bijahin nabiyyil ameen. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
In search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety.